Kind of weird to be taping a day after we did another show. The magic that is podcasting, I guess. Welcome to the Sodus Room Bubble. I am Scotty Waz. I am joined by Jen HL History Girl.
New nickname.
New nickname.
Hey.
So we are recording this on Monday the 19th, as we will be jet setting, and by jet setting, I mean by Pontiac Grand Prix, to Chicago for this year's installment of the NHL draft. So as this is coming out after the draft is over, boy, what a draft. So many surprises. Could you believe the one guy and the expansion team picked? My God.
Yeah. George McPhee is brilliant.
Or he's an idiot. We'll edit that one out. We'll figure out which one.
Which one works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, don't edit. So yeah, today we'll talk about the entry draft and the draft and the draft itself and like the amateur draft and all the things that came around it. This could be a quick and dirty one.
Yeah.
The draft comes, why? How did that come about? Because obviously the C contracts were the thing at the time. What mm-hmm. At what point did they realize we might need a draft to make things even?
It wasn't so much that they needed a draft to make things even. It's that they were competing more and more with the AHL for players. Because the AHL wasn't a feeder system. It was a competitor mm-hmm. at the time. And so was the WHL.
And the IHL, too, to an extent.
Yeah. And so it was more of a, okay, you know, we're not getting as many players. There's more competition between these, you know, among these all these leagues. And plus, the players themselves weren't enthusiastic about signing a C form. Because you're basically signing away your entire career.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was more and more resistance to signing these C forms. And so it just, to make everything a little more even and to stop some of the dirty tactics that were going on, this is what they agreed to do.
So who was the first one to kind of speak out? Do you know, was there a first one to speak out on the C forms, or is it just kind of a collective?
It was,
hey, this is kind of, why is this guy it, this?
It was kind of a collective because not too many years before they had attempted the first time to start the NHLPA.
That was Ted Lindsay, right?
Yeah. And he got punished for it. Mm-hmm. And so there was just more and more quiet rebellion. You know, players wanted better salaries and they wanted better conditions and they wanted...
Almost like they saw the light.
Yeah. And, you know, it didn't help when you had things happen like Gordie Howe finding out he's not the highest paid player on the team anymore. You know, contracts used to be secret. And then they weren't it anymore. And so it was harder and harder to attract players because, you know, at that point, well, if he's making this much money, why am I making less money and taking an off-season job? And
I'm better.
Yeah.
I'm the most marketable guy here.
Yeah. So it was very much the players starting to stand up for themselves. And there was a lot politically going on in Quebec. And so there was some insecurity that led to the whole Montreal gets first pick of French-speaking...
Which you've said is a farce.
Well...
To an extent.
To an extent. People think that it's some sort of like great mythical thing that helped build the Habs dynasty, and it really didn't. That first pick rule only lasted like 2 or 3 years. 3 years at most. But everyone seems to think that it really built up the Hab dynasties. It really helped build those Hab dynasties, and it didn't. And there was only, like, I think 2, 3 players that came out of it that were really helpful. Guy Lafleur was one of them. Like,
and it's a situation where Sam Pollock was still in charge there, right? And
yeah.
He was able to fleece a lot of the other GMs. Like,
he could, yeah, as they say, sell snow to an Eskimo.
Oh, yeah. It's usually ice to an Eskimo.
Whatever.
Ketchup popsicle to a person in white gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's so much that Sam Pollock was able to fleece people as it was, hey, you we get first selection on the Francophone players.
Exactly.
So, but a lot of these, it all changed. First draft held in 1963 as the amateur draft.
Yes.
What is there to say about that that hasn't been said about many other things in life?
Not a whole lot. It's the first draft, so it's a weak draft. It's really...
Everyone trying to get accustomed to this, I guess, right?
Yeah, and, you know, there aren't that many players available because the C forms and, you know, the junior system and the WHL and the AHL, like, there wasn't a whole lot available.
This was during the interleague draft as well, too.
Right.
So, like, guys were getting plucked off, you know, AHL guys' contracts were getting purchased and some NHL guys were going to the AHL.
Right. And it was kind of an odd way to start it. The draft order was determined by giving the teams pick of their place in the six-team order based on a reverse order of standings. So what that really means is the Bruins finished last, they got to pick first. The final team to pick was the Habs because they did the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a really odd way to sort of word it, but basically they wanted to create a system where everyone had a chance to get a star player.
Right.
So, because this was right about the time, you know, Maurice Richard had retired.
Bobby Hall was coming into the league.
Yeah, Bobby Hall was
coming into the league.
Yeah, so you're seeing the older stars retire and the new stars come in. And some of these teams were built rather strongly. Like, you know, Bobby Orr's team
mm-hmm.
was built around him, basically. I mean, they really started acquiring bits and pieces around him. And so it was, they were trying to look for parity, I guess. They never achieved it.
Or at least some kind of middle common ground.
Yeah. So they wanted everyone to have a chance to have a star.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be 17 years old. If you were already on a sponsorship list, you were ineligible.
What's the sponsorship list?
The sponsorship list
like
is the C form
okay.
Basically. Or in the case of a team like St. Catharines in Toronto, they were basically sponsored by the Leafs. Like, they were considered Leafs territorial. So that's what it means to be on a sponsored team.
Like Kingston was like a Bruins kind of territory situation.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's actually a map that shows like all of the different territories for the teams.
Put that up on our Twitter when we find it.
Yeah. It's on one of my drives in one of my folders. I have like 5 million pictures to go through.
Yeah, exactly. So 63, it happened. Amateur draft. And it was really...
You got nothing. You got Pete Mihaljevic.
Yeah. Pete Mihaljevic, the biggest draw there. And they stayed at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel for a long time.
And it was private.
Yeah, a lot of private, a lot of shady stuff there.
all of the drafts were private until 1980.
Mm.
They were all,
especially when you held them in the NHL offices and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, and so, they were almost always in Montreal.
Yeah. Why was that? Is it because the offices were there before
yeah.
they moved to Toronto?
Yep. Yeah.
There was no New York office yet?
No.
Mm.
No, at the time it was more advantageous to be...
In Canada.
And plus it was a pride thing, you know, Canadian sport. And,
sure.
You know.
When did that move to Toronto?
70s? I'd have to double check.
Like probably early 80s maybe.
Yeah.
It still has the Montreal office, but it's 77.
Yeah, so it's probably the 80s.
Early 80s. Might
yeah.
as well, the Hockey Hall of Fame was there.
Yeah, but then you have this really strange thing that happens in, is it 74? By phone, the entire draft.
Oh, because of the WHA. So why were they so paranoid of the WHA? Like, is because, like, especially with these youngster kind of situations.
Yeah, well, they looked at the WHA, and they had some real young stars. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had Cloutier, you know, they had a whole bunch of these young stars, and they were poaching NHL players, and they, you know, the NHL was nervous, and they didn't want the WHA poaching anyone else. And a lot of these guys have been drafted by both teams and chose to go to WHA instead of the NHL or, you know, whatever. And so just out of sheer paranoia, for no really great reason that I can discern, they decided to hold the draft by phone. And this is 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine a conference call?
God.
Of, you know, was it 12?
No, 74 is the Caps' first draft. So we were up to 18?
18.
Yeah.
Trying to do math in my head. It's never a good thing.
It was 12 and then 2 and 70. So that's 14.
14.
2 and 72. So 16, actually.
16.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have 16 teams trying to do a conference call. And now keep in mind, every time that they make a pick, the NHL has to register it. Like... So, okay, you know, New York chooses, and then the NHL has to write down the name and, you know, write down telegram the details, would have been easier. Basically, and then they could go on to the next pick. And of course, you had your time allotment to make your pick still. And it got so long and so boring that Punch Imhotep, the Sabres.
Yep, you're right.
GM.
Punch Imhotep.
Yep, Imhotep. He had a secretary. He supposedly had a secretary bring him a phone book. And he just picked out what seemed to be a popular Japanese name. And then he made up a pick. And you know the pick. Everyone knows the pick. And the NHL registered it just like any other one because they didn't have time to do the research. You know, there was no list beforehand, really.
No, and there was no research and no guys making it their life's work as some people do today.
Right. I mean, there was a central registry.
But it's, you know, especially
it was
when,
slow.
When you make it from the Japan, I don't think many people had any scouting reports on the Far East, much less some guy named Taro Shuzimoto.
And so, you know, they registered it, and nobody thought much about it. And then training camp came along, and he's like, oh, he'll be here any day now. You know, like he just strung it out as long as he could. And then the NHL discovered that this guy didn't exist. The team didn't exist. The league didn't exist, and they invalidated the pick, and the great practical joke was over. So that's the story of that.
The funny thing is that they still use it today.
Yeah.
Panini put out a Tsuchimoto card in their rookie sets. There's a sports writer for an alternative weekly art voice that has a Taro Says column. They had signs that said Taro Says and then some kind of like witty thing after that. So if nothing else, the Sad Sacks in Buffalo were able to at least embrace it.
Yeah, and it wasn't like they were blowing a low pick either. I mean, or a high pick.
No.
They blew a low pick, yeah.
By the way, I'm looking at that draft.
It's a ridiculous one.
Jesus Christ, Caps. Like, you picked every bleeping round until round 25. Like, no one else was picking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're picking guys. These guys might as well have been out of the phone booth. The Rangers were no better. They stopped picking at round 23, but Jesus, come on.
Well, that was because of the expansion draft.
Sure.
But
still, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and their ability to scout was kind of ugly.
They picked Johnny Bauer Jr., the Caps did, for Christ's sake.
Well, you know, hope. Hope.
Defenseman, though.
Yeah. Still. Hope.
And then the entry draft just kind of, you know, they decided, you know what, maybe we need to put this into a bigger forum.
Yeah.
The Montreal Forum. Trying to find out, like, the reasoning behind this.
Behind what?
The move from the offices to the actual Montreal Forum, putting in an arena setting.
And making it public?
Yeah.
You mean like 1980?
Yeah, in the 1980 draft. So when they moved it out of the offices, what the reasoning behind it? Was it because of the fact that they didn't have, like they had more teams, they didn't have really more room or what or another? Did they think this was going to be a big event? Like, did they think it was going to become what it is now?
They used to hold it in a ballroom. Like, that's originally.
Sure.
It was held in a ballroom. Right. Just like the 2005 draft was.
Pretty much.
By 1980, the NHL had taken, it was taking a victory lap, basically. Because they had eliminated the WHA. They were the only game in town. And games had been televised. And games were popular. And so they thought, well, then why not take this next step and see what happens and make this open to the public, too. And I think they didn't expect it to be as popular as it was. And it's just grown and grown and grown ever since because, it, you know, by 1984, it was televised. That's how fast it grew and how popular it became.
It really became, like, the big culture in terms of prospect culture became a thing.
Yeah.
Like you started paying more attention to colleges and then to major juniors and to see who's going to be the next big thing. And by the late 80s, early 90s, it had gone a little wacky.
Well, and at the same time, you're looking at the growth of like the world junior type tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
There was more popularity than ever. with like the Olympic teams, and you know, 1980 you had the Miracle on Ice that was hugely popular. So people wanted to see their heroes, and people wanted to see, you know, the future. People always like to see the future. That's why expos are always, not the baseball expos, I mean like expos in general. Yeah. Like car expos and, yeah, you know, whatever. Because people like to go and see what's the next best thing, what's right, the new gadget.
Well, we did. They just had E3, the electronics expo for all the video games.
Yeah.
So, and the 84 draft, a big thing in terms of just the people behind it. Lemieux was there. Patty Waugh, Brett Hall, Luke Robitaille,
the Tank,
Gary Suter, Tom Glavin, the greats. Tom Glavin.
He coaches now, by the way. He coaches minor league hockey in Georgia.
Pardon?
Tom Glavin?
Minor league hockey?
Yeah, like minor like peewees and
kids
skirts.
Hockey.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, kids hockey.
He
yeah
said, "I'm like, he's coaching the Gladiators." God, I know they're hard times, but damn.
It'd be a hell of a thing, right?
Well, he did suit up for him for one face-off, so.
Yeah.
That was a...
He was quite good in high school.
Oh, yeah, no, he was up there. I mean, he was Bostonian, so.
Yeah.
All those Boston prep schools, they get you ready for some stuff.
Yeah, he used to go to Bruins practices, too. Mm-hmm. Skate with them, so. Yeah, he was drafted ahead of Luke Robitaille.
I don't know why they thought they could get him out of baseball. Like, I mean, he's a left-hander with junk. I mean, probably the last pitcher that'll get to 300 wins now.
But at the time, he wasn't absolutely settled.
No, I think the same with Kurt McCaskill.
Yeah, no, they weren't completely settled. And then you know, baseball went and threw money at them, and they looked at hockey and said, you know, I really like my front teeth.
Well, not only that, it's just a matter of. There was so many more established minor leagues there that you could actually develop where, you know, the AHL, try as it might, IHL, try as it might, still didn't have that kind of gusto that it has now.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, it was more of an old dogs league, especially the IHL.
Yeah.
So.
It's more of where you went to die than where you went to start.
Essentially, it's your last big payday.
Yeah.
Kind of situation.
Yeah.
1981 draft, Kurt McCaskill went. Winnipeg Jets. Played for the Shorebrook Jets for a time as well.
And then decided his future was baseball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
106 and 108. Great job, Kurt. Great bleeping job.
You know how Luke Robitaille spent his draft day waiting for his name to get called? Mm. Eating hot dogs.
That's good.
Yeah. He ate like 6 or 7 hot dogs. Because he was just nervous, and they weren't calling his name. So he just went and had another hot dog. And then they weren't calling his name, and he was nervous, so he went and had another hot dog.
Leave him alone.
He's a big hot dog aficionado. That was quite the draft, too, because that one produced 3 Calder winners in the first round. Three Calder winners.
And after 84, it went on the road. Started to become... Yeah. Went to Toronto, then back to the Forum, and then just started to move all around the place. I mean, you get Joe Louis, the Met Center, the BC Place, the Odd, back to the Forum. I mean, it was a situation where it becomes the traveling sideshow it is now, which I think is overall great.
Mm-hmm.
I find it as a better... It's a more boring experience.
It once you're there, it's pretty tedious. Like, you're like, yeah, the draft, and then you're sitting there, and you're like, oh... This is
what it is. It's exactly what it is on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's more of a camaraderie thing.
Yeah, except at home, you know, or you can watch it on TV. You can do it without pants and not get arrested.
Yeah, it's touch and go. Get to that fourth round after a Friday night of drinking.
Paul Kariya was a table runner, like a runner for one of the teams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when the draft was in Vancouver, he ran, I think it was Peter Nedved's name, up to the...
So that would have been, that would have been 90.
Yeah.
DC Place.
Yep, because that was a story he used to tell.
And as we get down, most draft picks. What year do you think that was? Most picks drafted.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
2003, 292 players drafted out of 9 rounds.
Ah.
M.A. Fleury was your top pick.
The third goalie chosen first overall after DiPietro and Place?
Was Place?
Was it Place?
Cascese?
Yeah, Place and DiPietro.
Hmm.
And then Fleury.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
And they compare that draft to the 79 draft.
In terms of
player success.
Mm.
Big name players, because in 79 you had Ramage, Turnbull, Foligno, Gartner, Vive, Hartsburg, Ray Bourque, Laurie Boschman, Mike Ramsey, Paul Reinhart, Ryan Propp, Brad McKimmon, Michelle Goulet, Kevin Lowe, and that's just the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean...
That was the golden age of prospects.
It really was. You had Pelle Lindbergh, Mats Naslund, Dave Christian, Dale Hunter, Neil Broughton. That's the second round. I mean, it keeps...
Onward and upward.
Guy Carboneau, Mark Messier, Roly Melanson, Agradnik, Anderson. I mean, it keeps rolling. And so... And then you look at 2003... And your first round alone is Fleury, Stahl, Horton, Vanek, Suter,
a lot
Smooth,
of guys on
Carter,
this expansion
Parisi.
Draft.
Yeah.
A lot of expansion draft possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, that first round is just crammed full of...
But you also have your Nikolai Zhurdevs.
Yeah.
Your Kostitsyns. Your Braden Colburns. Your Dan Fritchies.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, it's kind of a very up-down draft.
Your
like,
Jan Haydas, your Kyle Quincy's got picked deep.
Yeah.
Mark Lathot. Oh, it's good times, great memories there.
Yeah. Then I want to say it was... What year was the draft in St. Louis?
96, yeah.
Yeah, so...
What's the story on that? You told me you had a good one.
Yeah, so the draft is in... the Kiel Center, and it's hot. It's really hot. And then you're in this large, crowded arena, and the temperature just keeps rising, and people are passing out from the heat. one of the general managers actually got sick from the heat. The St. Louis Blues PR lady managed to find some large fans, like box fans,
mm-hmm.
and she'd set them up around the Blues table. And other teams were coming up and offering, and she couldn't tell if they were serious or not, but they were offering like 8th round picks for one of her box fans. That's how hot it was in the building.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a pretty wild story. Like, that would be incentive to move along quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when no popping circumstances then.
Yeah.
God, the Caps kicked the Alexander Volchenko off, and not the good one either. Jesus Christ, that was a 4th overall pick? Really, guys? You had freaking Derek Morris down the road? Jesus, Danny Briere. That was a bad draft, too. 96?
Yeah, some of them are pretty ugly.
Freaking terrible.
And then, of course, you have guys like Brian Lawton, the first and only guy drafted right out of high school. And wait, that wasn't Lawton, was it?
That was Joe Murphy, I believe. Joey Murphy with the Detroit Red Wings was the first, I want to say, drafted out of high school kid.
Let's see.
Yeah, because, oh no, he was picked out of Michigan State. So I think, what was he? He became the first NCAA college player to be selected first overall.
Okay.
So that was his thing. So I think...
Yeah, Lawton was the first overall draft pick.
Huh.
The first U.S.-born hockey player drafted first overall in the NHL, and the first and only high school player to be drafted.
Yeah, no, and there's a reason
first
why.
Of all.
And there's a reason why. He was pretty god-terrible.
He had that nice upward spike for a moment, and then...
I'll wear 98 because I'm just as good as Gretzky. No.
No,
Brian, no.
And then he became a GM.
No, Brian, no. No. He was in that Orlar and Coolest gang.
And he still has that mentality, by the way, if you watch his Twitter.
You watch NHL Network.
Yeah.
And his ramblings.
Yeah.
For you, worst draft. Best draft, worst draft. I think 79 could be across the board the best draft.
Yeah, 79 and 2003 are really close in terms of success. Time will tell, because 79 has a whole, like, several Hall of Famers in that class, with a possibility of a couple more.
Mm-hmm. As they get the Deadwood out of there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not thinking that, like, Mike Gartner is a huge in for the Hall of Fame, but, you know, there's a possibility.
He should be, in all honesty. Yeah. Like, because he never won a cup, that dude, he was effective until he was, like, in his late 30s, early 40s. Like, he's still fastest guy in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, he's still kicking ass on the...
time.
Yeah.
Like, he should be there for his accolades alone.
Yeah, because he was just a super steady player. Mm-hmm. And really...
Did he win a cup, or did he miss out with the Rangers?
He missed out, I think.
Yeah, I think he missed out by a year.
I think they actually traded him.
That summer?
That year.
That trade deadline?
Yeah, I think I think that's what went down. But I know there are some real sleeper picks that happened in the draft. You know, it's kind of weird. You think when you think of like Dominik Hasek, his career began in what, 90, 91?
His career?
His NHL career.
Yeah, 90.
Yeah.
He was drafted in 83.
83, the same year as Vladislav Chediak.
Wow.
Yeah. That kind of weirds people out when you point out that the two of them were drafted in the same year.
Well, I mean, Timmy Thomas was drafted in 1990, I think. He was, or 94, because I think he was one of the last Quebec Nordiques in the NHL.
Yeah. And Jaguar was one of the last Whalers.
Mm-hmm. Mike Gartner had 30 goals in his second to last season. 32 goals.
Yeah, just really solid.
Consistent guy.
Yeah. Well, he set a record, too, with most 30-goal seasons. Like, he did it. Like, he set a record before Gretzky did for most 30-goal seasons. Or consistent. Or something about, like, most consecutive.
Most consecutive 30-goal season with 15, tied with Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
NHL record for most 30-goal seasons with 17.
Mm-hmm.
NHL record for most goals in an All-Star game with 4.
Yeah.
Fastest 2 goals at the start of an All-Star game. Caps, and he's a Caps icon.
Yeah, he
jersey
wins,
retired.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we can't have Jeff Halpern stinking up this jersey at number 11. Longest point streak at 17 games. Longest goal scoring streak at 9. Most shorthanded goals in a season with 6. And most points by a right winger in a season at 102 for the Caps.
Yeah.
So.
Well, 95, you have the draft lottery.
Yeah, 95. And the draft. And this is that. And this happened. And of course, the Mario Lemieux incident. I mean, how dare we not talk about that? The tanking. The tank job that they did by bringing up Roberto Romero. Or Vinny Tremblay. I don't know which one it was. There's some jabroni from the Baltimore Skipjacks, I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whose record was got terrible, too. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the weird things about the... Do you know there was a WHA Hall of Fame? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in Eveleth.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Anyway.
The WHA Hall of Fame?
Yeah. It's inside the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, it used to be in Winnipeg, and then they moved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. Anyway. The hell was I talking about?
The 84.
Oh, yeah, just guys tanking, and the lottery system came into play. And without fail, it screws the team that's the worst every single year.
Yeah, they've not found a good, fair...
Team with the worst record is picking 4th this year.
Yeah. Although, the I could do mostly without the whole ceremony that they do now.
Oh, you got to get those TV numbers up.
That's
and in all honesty, anything to get away from a intermission television crew, I'm fine with. Perfectly fine with.
I think everyone would be really just screaming for joy the day that they retire Mike Milbury, forcibly or not.
Oh, it's got to be coming soon.
It has to be. God, I hope so.
I can't wait to see how this damn award show expansion draft turns out, because that seems like it'd be just a shit show.
Well, you know, Vegas has had a lot of problems, because you remember that first reveal? the screens didn't work and the confetti came out early and then they did the protected list and they were like, okay, we're going to do it at 10 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. That happens to be Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And then they said, wait, no, we're going to do it at 10:30. And then, of course, everything leaked in the interim. And mm-hmm. So, you know, things have not exactly gone smoothly for them
no,
so
and
far.
Having it during an award show is perfect,
yeah.
In all honesty, to go with this ragtag team that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you got to say about the draft. If there's anything.
Just random things.
Go ahead with your random things. You have several, I'm sure.
I'm
just going to sit here and look at the WHA Hall of Fame.
We missed our chance to see the Avco Cup.
It's fine.
At the party in Winnipeg.
It's fine. We'll see it with like a thrift shop in Winnipeg when we go up, I'm sure.
The portrait of Queen Elizabeth. I was sad we missed that, too. I was like, aw. You know, the first European drafted first overall, Matt Sundin, he was drafted by the Nordiques. There's video of it. He's got a full head of hair. It's really thick hair. It's kind of wild to see. He doesn't quite know how to put on a baseball cap.
A lot of Europeans didn't. A lot of, you know what?
Rod Brind'Amour didn't either. And I'm like, how the hell?
I'm not going to limit that to Europeans. I think a lot of the young kids didn't know how to put on a draft hat because they just put it over their head. And
yeah, they like popped it on top of their hair.
They were god terrible, though.
Yeah.
Those hats were god terrible.
They were. The picture I have of Rod Brind'Amour with his draft hat on
Darian
is just...
Darian Hatcher with his is a trip. Marty Brodeur with his is a trip, too.
That mustache, a little...
God, terrible mustache.
And that flat top. Ugh. But then Ole Kolzig had the flat top with the mullet and the porn stash. I mean, he had that glorious trio going on.
He was everyone in the Baltimore, D.C. metro area of that time.
It was...
Rock and Roll Parking Lot came out not too long before that happened, so... And that was in Cap Center, so why not fit with the crowd? And just be the mullet guy who listens to Slayer all day, every day.
I have the picture of Kolzig that is, you know, he's got the flat top with the shaved sides and the mullet in the back and that awful 80s mustache.
Teenage mustache. I don't think that's resigned to the 80s. I think every teenage
I think it's
kid
80s by default because it's just that.
I would say 70s more than 80s in
sure.
all honesty. Because that's like the Dazed and Confused era.
Oh, it's an amazing look for Ollie. Just
wonderful.
Yeah. Kirk Muller decided to wear a white suit, like a white suit and a red shirt, I think, and a white tie for his draft pictures. And he had pleats that were so deep, I think you could lose a Grand Canyon in them. I mean, it was just like, what the hell?
That's a lovely man right there.
Yes.
Ollie Kolzig in his draft hat.
Yeah. If you go to Hockey Time Machine and search for Kolzig, you'll see.
Hockey-time machine.
Yes. And search for Ollie Kolzig and NHL draft. You'll see his marvelous haircut.
That's a lovely thing there with his Baltimore Skipjacks card too.
Yeah, well, in the card, does he have the little like fade stripe?
Doesn't look like he has the fade stripe. It looks like more professional. Look.
Okay.
His stash looks better though. Much better.
But going way back to what I was originally saying,
sure.
When Sundin was drafted to the Nordiques, he didn't really know where Quebec City was. And somebody just showed him a postcard. He's like, so then he could go to the press and say, you know, I look forward to going to Quebec. It's a lovely city, blah, blah, blah. And in reality, they showed him the postcard. He's like, oh, that's nice. I hope there are pretty girls there. Like, that was his first response. Martin Brodeur, when he got drafted, he didn't really know where New Jersey was, which seems a little...
Why he's from Quebec?
Yeah.
Why would he know where New Jersey is?
It's on the other side of New York.
It's the armpit of America.
Yeah, he didn't know where he was going. He was just happy to be going. So
it's three in the tri-state area behind Connecticut. So.
Yeah, his response to reporters was like, you know, I'm just happy to be here.
Sure. No, that's fine.
Yeah. So there was the year Brian Burke threatened to order pizza to his draft table because it was going so slowly.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a threat.
Yeah. Like, that'll show them.
That'll show them. We'll get some pizza, some disgusting-ass pizza here.
You can tell the story about Steve Yzerman.
Okay, this is a classic story. It's been told on many a podcast. You might have heard the story from the Puck Soup podcast with Greg Wyshynski and Dave Lozo. So, Minnesota, the first time you and I met.
Yeah.
It was beforehand. We went out. This was the Friday night, so after the first round, went and changed and got into our comfortable clothes and went out to the local.
Which is a good place.
It's a nice place.
Yeah.
And it was me, Mark with a C, Johnny P, Law Richardson for Spectres Hockey, the lovely Sean Leahy, and Greg Wyshynski. So we got like a little, they have like little booths in there. It's like little telephone booths, but people can sit in. So we're sitting there and shooting the shit and doing Andy Rooney impersonations. Because we're fucking idiots. And then we had like some hanger-on come in. Oh, you're Sean Leahy. Sean Leahy was known in 2011. People love him. So Sean ordered some chicken fingers. And we're getting beers. We're just doing Andy Rooney impressions. Do you ever notice when that? Something about watermelon. You know, the racist Andy Rooney jokes, yeah. Which I am so fond of. You can see the
it's
eye
like
rolling.
Watching a Family Guy episode.
Better. More sight gags. So we're doing that, and we're like 45 minutes goes along, an hour. Sean Leahy's wasting away. Sweet boy just wanted his chicken fingers. We wanted to refill a beer, too. So we look around the corner, and what do I see? Greg and I see it at the same time. Steve Yzerman with our attractive waitress. Just there, because some jabron came over and just threw the chicken fingers. Sean Leahy, sweet boy Sean Leahy. And Greg's there, he's like, oh, that's why. I'm like, you sons of bitches. Ever since then, I've held a personal vendetta against Steve Yzerman.
For making Sean Leahy hungry.
For making sweet boy Sean Leahy hungry and stealing our waitress. That stealing the waitress part was more above than making sweet boy Sean Leahy. I'm going to call him sweet boy Sean Leahy from now on. I'm sure he's going to love that.
Better than calling him Limes, I suppose.
Oh, sweet boy Lime Sean Leahy. That's his wrestling name from the 80s when he was in Mid-South. He faced JYD for a title match. It was amazing. You should have seen it. Greg Wyshynski was under a hood as El Locale. Point is this, folks. Yeah. Steve Yzerman's on my list. And forever be that until he gets us that waitress back. Or buys us a drink.
If we ever run into him, we'll have to tell him that story. You stole our waitress at the draft. We want her back.
You weren't even there.
No, I mean, you tell them.
I'll tell the story.
Yeah, you tell him the story. I met Sean and I didn't even know who he was.
Funny fact, I still don't know who he is. A kid. He doesn't know who the Betanzos are, that's for damn sure. Those stories are glorious. I love those stories. But yeah, I mean, the draft, for us, or for our show, Faceoff Hockey Show, 2002 we've been going. And I've seen it kind of grow. In 2002 it was Toronto, whatever.
Hmm.
2003 Nashville, things started to pick up steam. After the lockout, once Twitter became a thing and people connected more on social media, it seemed to be like as a cultural quote-unquote
event. you go to hang out and see your friends.
Exactly. You see your friends that you only see maybe once a year or you plan trips to or make new connections. And it's Twitter as a whole today completely different than it was 5-6 years ago.
Holy cow, yes.
Yes, so many people just yelling into the void and getting heard somehow, some way. But I mean, it's a networking event, it's a hangout, it's almost like a Comic-Con for hockey players.
Don't expect to network there. Like, if you're showing up and trying to get a job in analytics, you're in the wrong place. But if you're there to see your friends and hang out.
If you're there just to hang out, like if you go to, if you go to a party that you know people at.
Yeah.
Don't try to be smarter than the room. Just
don't work it.
Hang.
Just yeah.
Just hang, be chill.
Yeah.
People will come up to you. That's what we do.
Yeah.
People. That's how. When I was just in Pittsburgh, I was stuttering around, and Greg's like, "Hey, come here." So we sat down at a table by ourselves, and just like, "Listen, Titanic, action movie, or romance movie, or love movie."
And then I showed up.
And then you showed up. And I'm like, what the hell is this woman doing here? I'm having talking about Billy Zane with guns. And then this wild midget shows up.
Thanks.
No problem.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I can't go. I'm so sad. And then I was with my friend Cheryl, hockey broad. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if she's changed her Twitter handle or not. She used to take really great photographs of games and stuff. But anyway, she was like, hey, I'm driving. Do you want to drive with me? And I was like, well, I have to get to Chicago first. Well, okay. So she and I took a train or a bus. I can't remember which, because it was a gonzo ride. And it, like, there were delays and crap and...
Playing trains at all would be
yeah, awesome. And then we drove to Pittsburgh, and we were like, "What the hell? Where do we? What's going on here? Bridges? Ah,
too many bridges."
Yeah, and so we finally found our hotel. We changed clothes, and we showed up, and I slapped my wallet down on your table.
I'm sitting here talking, and Greg's trying to convince me it's an action movie.
Yeah, and Greg's looking at me like, "Who the hell is this?"
And then this is NHL history. Go, oh, and it just became a love in.
There was unexpected hugging.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Smoke cigars at ball fields. It was a great time.
Yeah. Sit around bullshit.
Yeah. As we are wont to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now we look to Chicago. Or we look past the Chicago. What a great time Chicago was. All the fat Polacks. I felt at home.
I can't wait to go to Vegas next year.
God, that's probably going to be the announcement too.
Yeah. Because they're going to announce next year's draft.
Yes, they are.
At the draft.
Well,
or at the award show.
Sometimes. Is that official?
I want to say it's one of the two. I quit paying attention to things.
They probably do it at the draft. There's too much stuff going on at the award show. You can't fucking do it at the award show.
Of course you could.
You could, but it'll be lost in the fold if New Jersey gets unveiled on Tuesday, or got unveiled, and they look spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, there's... I think there's a good chance it's in Vegas next year.
I don't... Wouldn't surprise me. Everything under one roof at that point.
Yeah.
Because you'll have the award show, you have the draft.
Yeah.
And then there we go.
You have everything at
cheap airfare, cheap hotels.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not terrible.
Even from here.
Yeah.
It's cheap. So.
It's not terrible.
Yeah.
So.
And my dad was like, oh, if you're going to Vegas, let me know. We'll drive up. It's only 5 hours.
Mm.
And my dad likes to, he doesn't like to gamble, but he likes to have, you know, sit down, play a few hands of cards and whatever.
Sure.
Go home.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Find me at the penny slots.
That's where you'd find my grandma, too. Yeah. Speaking of, she got kicked out of another casino.
Okay, well, this is not a podcast for that. This is not the gambling podcast. I'm sorry. This
isn't wandered off into the...
This isn't Broadcast Monsters 2003. We'll put any gambling... Oh, you know what? I swear to God I want to do this 30 for 30, even if it's just the Broadcast Monsters guys standing around and talking about it. Because the stories we could tell.
Yeah.
Like a gambling show being shut down because the authorities were at this guy's place who was doing the show. In Costa Rica.
Oh, dear.
So,
good
times. That was a great, that era of Broadcast Monsters. The golden age of Broadcast Monsters.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any huge surprises with this year's
draft.
This draft
is, you know, we are taping this, so we will be wrong. We'll talk about it more next week.
We'll talk about how wrong we are next week.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, it's not deep. It's just there.
Yeah.
It's a draft that's there.
Yeah. Well, there have been drafts like that before.
Sure, and got all, you know, all due respect to Nolan Patrick and this other Swiss kid, Nico Hischier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an it's not a sexy Auston Matthews draft or Connor McDavid and, you know, all that
stuff.
Yeah,
it's not a Sedin's, it's not a Lemieux, it's not a Crosby, it's not
Nolan Patrick played like 25 games last year.
Yeah.
So, after he had a mixed diagnosed groin injury, so...
Yeah.
These things are weird.
People get oddly overhyped over draft picks. It's
because it's the promise of what... Because if you don't do your own research, it's the promise of what could happen, what could be.
Yeah.
The upside. Everyone has a tremendous upside.
Sure.
It's not as hyperbolic as the NBA draft, though. That's a scene within itself.
Mm.
Guy who's getting picked 25th. Oh, he's going to be... I don't know why he's out of lottery there, Kenny. Stuff like that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things where it's more animated, too. Like, it's...
Yeah.
The hockey guys are so dull.
And there are a couple of guys I like that do scouting, because they seem pretty calm and reasonable, like Kirk.
Yeah.
But some of them are just so... you're going to love this guy. He has such upside with speed and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, okay.
We're
he's 17,
yeah.
So...
We're not going to see him for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And then usually it ends up being, you know, this guy that you said is the next coming of, I don't know, Mike Gartner is actually Joe Finley.
Swinging lawnmowers around his head. Good for him.
Skating like his feet are covered with cement. Yeah, so, I don't know. Temper your expectations, people.
Exactly. If we've learned nothing from Taro Sugimoto, temper your expectations.
You've had some bad first overall picks over the years.
Wonder who's the worst. Who do you think the worst one is?
The worst?
The worst first round pick. Or Ooh. First overall pick. That's a tough one.
That is, because, well, I mean, you have a guy like Doug Wickenheiser, who was supposed to have such great promise.
I'm going to say Gord Kluzak.
Really?
I don't know.
I'm like, I don't know if he went.
Yeah, he went first overall in the 82 draft.
Well, the first draft, I mean, Gary Monahan.
Yeah.
He didn't do much.
Barry Gibbs, I think, was in the Bee Gees.
Yeah, like the early years are really ugly. Rick Green, and I don't know how much he accomplished.
It was terrible.
You know, it got better as years went on, but then you had 93.
Oh, well, listen.
I mean, he did cobble together a career, but...
Towards the end there.
Yeah.
And he was on a god-terrible team. Like, let's not bury that lead.
No.
He was on a god-terrible Senators team, Alexander Digg was.
Yeah, and to be honest, he probably shouldn't have been in the draft. Just because he was not committed. Like, he wasn't even sure he wanted a pro hockey career. He just kind of went along. So.
Fat cash, baby.
Patrick Stefan?
Yeah, no, I said Stefan, too. Just, if nothing, for that open net foible he had when he was in Dallas.
Yeah, it's mostly those early years that are really just ugly.
Yeah, it's too early to tell on some of these guys. Eric Johnson hasn't done too much.
Neither
hurt himself in a golf cart.
Is it Yakupov that had all of the hype and hasn't?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yakupov's bad.
Yeah.
That's a bad pick right there for number one overall, the first of three.
And I think DiPietro could have been a great pick.
If he wasn't made of porcelain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's mostly circumstance. Like, Wickenheiser should have been a good player, mm-hmm. and then he got injured, and that was that. So it's just, you know, circumstance with some of them.
Yeah, Yakupov just... It's that Russian mantra where he'll go off on his own, listen to coaches kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a damn shame.
And then we all have those picks that we hold dear in our heart, whether or not they worked out or not.
Oh, I was in love with, who's the Gustafson kid? Ben Gustafson's kid who got picked 21st overall.
Oh, yeah.
By the Caps. I'm like, ah, this kid's going to be great. He just hurt his back 2 years later, and he's gone.
Yeah, he should have been. Yeah,
should have been a lot better, but he was injured from the start. And like, I kind of tempered expectations.
Mm-hmm. Remember how people went crazy over Radek Blanc?
Still went crazy. They still go crazy over Radek Blanc. That's a great name.
I like him. He's a pretty cool dude. So yeah,
he doesn't take himself too seriously. And
nope.
Again, cobbled together a career after a horrible Senators team, and then kind of just wasn't the top goal scorer.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was going to be because he got slower when he got to middle age.
Yep.
So, or middle hockey age, I should say.
You know, the Sens used to have a hockey card machine in their arena. Like, you put in 25 cents and it would give you a hockey card, like a random hockey card. That sounds like so much fun. Like, I know it wouldn't be a good card, but it'd be fun. More places should have machines like that. Anyway.
Yeah, good luck. Cards are like $17.
I know. Oh, cards. You want a full set of cards? Hand us your firstborn.
Cards are just, man. So I go on eBay, get the cheap cards.
Yeah.
Or go to Target like we do and get the cheap cards.
Yeah.
$4 for 100. It's great. All right. We've done about 49 minutes. That's good enough. thank you for listening. To you who won the contest, congratulations.
Hope you had fun.
We haven't picked it yet. That's the recording. Oopsie.
To be fair, we've been really busy.
You know, trying to get stuff last minute and everything.
Yeah.
So. They can find you at
NHL History Girl.
Find me at Scotty Waz. That's it. We're gonna do another bubble next week. Same bat time. Same, but probably not bat time. Gotta work weekends, so it'll be next week. So enjoy it. Hope you had a good time at the draft. Take care of yourself, for Jen and Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. Soon to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey.
When that move happens. Don't know when. You might hear some ads. That's, I think, when we got to get music. Or start something new. I don't know. I'll figure it out when we get to it.
Tweet Tate Maris. Be like, yo, can you do a 20-second thing for us?
Do something stupid. Just go. I don't care what it is. Just have a cat howling. I don't care. Be great. Put a beat to it.
Yeah. Tate, by the way, is a former college goalie.
Yes.
And musician.
Current musician.
Yeah, well, he's currently a musician.
Yes.
He's good.
He's also a goalie coach, summer goalie coach in Colorado.
Is he?
Yeah, he's doing like camps and stuff there.
That's cool.
Yep.
So anyway.
All right, we petered out on this one. All right, bye, everybody.